Scripture says, no man shall come before me empty. So when you come, you're expected to pray. No man shall come before me empty. It's mentioned three times. Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. No man shall come before me empty. So when you come to meeting, you're supposed to have something, not an empty bag. You may not use it that particular occasion. The Spirit of God may not lead you, but we want to have something when we come. Whether it's prayer meeting or breaking the bread or whatever the meeting may be.
We may say as we talk about this power that there's two ways that we benefit from God's power. One is the power of His protection. And I was thinking of the verse in Proverbs 30 where it says that it talks about the conies in some translations or the rock badgers. They are feeble folk. They're weak, but they have a hiding place in the rock. They hide in the rock, they're going to be preserved. But there's another way that we benefit from God's power, and I think that is what's emphasized here more, and that is that God gives us not just the power for safety, power of protection, but the power of action. And it would be good for us to really appreciate what we've been already saying, that there's this power for action that comes from prayer, that comes from God's own supply. In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about, that among the other things that Paul was praying for the Ephesian believers, he was praying that they would know the power of God, the power that works in them according to God's mighty power, based on the standard of God's mighty power, which He has worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The context is different. It's not the same kind of warfare context, but it's this idea that what is the standard of God's power? It's the power that bursts the bonds of death itself. This is a declaration. I think it's Romans 1. It says He's declared the Son of God with power because of the resurrection of the dead. And if God, through Christ, has displayed that kind of power, that the last enemy which is to be destroyed is death, and yet is already conquered. That enemy which is so tenacious that it will be the last enemy to be destroyed, and yet God, through Christ's resurrection, has already displayed that that is the measure of His power, the unlimited measure of His power, that it could even burst the bonds of death. Then we would look at this idea of being these weapons being mighty in God for pulling down these strongholds. And we can appreciate this idea now and also in the next session. Pulling down in verse 4, casting down in verse 5, these are the same terms. And it shows a great exercise of power that is at work to accomplish this. And so while on the one hand, we may feel too weak for a certain battle, we can at least count on God's power to preserve us. We can at least find our hiding place in the Lord. And at the same time, we can be encouraged by this passage. God doesn't only want us to find a hiding place when these strongholds make their presence known. He wants to use us to pull them down. And so on the one hand, if we turn aside those false teachers and those who come to give us another gospel, it's one thing to turn aside and know not to be corrupted by them. But it's another thing, also, we should be exercised in this, to pull down that stronghold. So that if someone comes to us and says, I'd like to tell you some important beliefs, we have scriptures to pull down that stronghold and say, well, how does that square with this other verse that I know from the scriptures? And to pull down that stronghold, to expose it for what it is, that it's not something spiritual, but it's something devilish. And we can find that power. This is power from God. It is not shackled by anything, even death. And therefore, we can count on God's power in this as well. It's victory, not only preservation, but it's also victory to remove and pull down these strongholds. I know we'll probably continue that as we get into verse 5 later on.
What if this, too, it connects with the gospel work? I read a pamphlet years ago called Pulling Down Strongholds, How to Pray for Buddhists. And recognizing that these religious systems are very powerful strongholds that have sway over millions of people's lives. And how do we approach? We, you know, as I go to the city of Philadelphia, it's a huge city, and I see these millions of people. You go through and you walk through and you see all these people of all these different religious backgrounds, all the influences they have in their lives. You feel so inadequate in yourself, totally inadequate. How could I ever reach all these people? The Lord has to do the work, but we have to pray. And if the Lord raises us up to have a certain avenue to reach souls, may the Lord help us. But we also have to be aware the enemy is resisting. And I think we, you know, that passage in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, he's talking to Timothy, and he tells him something. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. You know, oftentimes when the gospel is presented, there is going to be great resistance. We often like it when everybody says, thank you for the tract, thank you for sharing that wonderful message with me. We don't like it when people say, get out of here with your trash, or have some philosophical argument to try to crush the message. Or when we're involved with reaching out to people that are involved in a system like Islam, which has tremendous influence over the minds of people and the way they conduct themselves. We see it today. Their religion teaches them it's good to kill Christians. It's good to kill infidels. That's what they say. You know, how do we have to pray for the Lord's grace and help to overthrow those strongholds. If the Lord has given us a direction in that gospel work, we need a lot of wisdom.
But I was just thinking that if we're talking about these strongholds, as to how we're going to, by the help of God, to pull them down, we have to be reminded, and I think, Steve, you might have been alluding a little to this, we have to be reminded of the one who himself has pulled down the stronghold. I'm reminded of what you get in Matthew, where he comes into the strong man's house and he binds him, he spoils his goods. He came into this scene where the strong man had a grip and he went up against him and annulled his power and the power of death. And I think that we have to have him as the example before us if we are going to be able to pull down these strongholds by the power of God.